Your Eminence, you know, we, even though there's no kind of age difference, I just want to tell you that His Eminence has always been a father to me. I know he doesn't like me to say that, but I've always considered him as a father, and now in the episcopacy as well. And to all of the clergy that have gathered here, I'd like to comment on something that Father Nathan said, and that His Eminence said, that it means the world to me to see my former students at the altar, see them as priests. Not just because of the connection that we have and the experiences that we've shared, and my pride that they have been given the grace to serve the church as a priest, but it shows me that the church is going to be here and alive and well long after I'm gone. And in seeing all of you here, even if you're not, have never been my students, whether you are Antiochian and were raised in the faith and have ancestry in Syria or Lebanon, or you are priests who chose to join the church, perhaps through the EOC, and serve this diocese, this archdiocese. However you've come with your stories, to see 85 of you here today is proof positive to me that the church is alive and well. And I thank God for you. And I'm happy for the Diocese of Los Angeles and the West and the Antiochian Archdiocese, that you have made this commitment to Christ to serve him in this time when so many other traditions are lacking vocations, are compromising to get more vocations, that you have chosen to serve the one true faith of Christ and Holy Orthodoxy is incredible. When we were coming one way to get to dinner and all of you were lined up in that courtyard, I asked His Eminence how many were there, because I thought there was well over 100. It just seemed such a long line. The number is not important. The fact is important. And that warms my heart as well. And so I honor all of you. And remember that when one of the people we're going to talk about in the course of this week said, whenever you honor a priest, you honor the priesthood. And when you honor the priesthood, you honor Christ the High Priest. Thank you, and thank God for you. Having said that, my portion of this seminar is to examine pastoral issues through the lens of the Holy Fathers. We're going to use the actual texts of their great works. Not all of them, obviously. We have portions, a workbook prepared, and we're going to discuss questions. It's going to be a seminar. I'm not going to be lecturing to you. We're going to be, as His Eminence said, we're going to be sharing together. How does this relate to us in the 21st century America, in the Archdiocese, and in my parish? What's my experiences been? What have my difficulties made me nervous about? What questions do we have? We're going to approach it from that avenue. We're going to specifically look at three great works, at least in my estimation. We're going to look at from St. Ambrose of Milan, that great saint who was born in 340. When he was the chief official in his city, what is now Milan, when Auxentius, the Arian bishop, was deceased, and the Orthodox tried to reclaim that see which was originally Orthodox, there was this great hullabaloo in the city, and in the midst of it, a child shouted out, "Ambrose for bishop." And he refused because he was unworthy. But the clergy and the faithful prevailed on him. And so the catechumen Ambrose, was baptized and ordained in successive days and consecrated the bishop. He has many great works we could look at. Obviously, he's written his famous exposition of the Orthodox faith, on the sacraments, on the Holy Spirit, on the Incarnation, the five books of the faith, the symbol of the faith. But we're going to focus, of course, two books of repentance. We're going to focus, of course, on the duties of the clergy, in which he evidences his deep awareness of pastoral duty. He stresses that those who serve the church should have not only the proper knowledge of theology and history and services, but reflect the knowledge of living the moral, spiritual Christian life. And so we're going to look at that book and excerpts of it. We're also going to jump to 540, to the birth of another saint of the church, Gregory Dialogos, who was the Pope of Rome. He was, in the Western Church, a real monastic. He founded monasteries, lived in a monastery, even lived in Constantinople, where he wrote his commentary on the Book of Job. After the death of Pope Pelagius, he was chosen to succeed him and ruled from the See of Rome for 13 years until his death in 604. Again, there are many dialogues of the fathers and letters that we could look at, but we're going to look at his famous pastoral rule, in which he describes the model of the true pastor. And look at what it means to have a vision of the Lord in what we do. And finally, we are going to look, of course, at a saint from Antioch who needs no introduction. Him you know well, and we'll examine his wisdom in his six books, the six discourses on the priesthood, Saint John Chrysostom, that brilliant orator, prolific scholar and writer, and of course, the great hierarch, eventually of Constantinople. My reason for doing it this way is the following. We send you out into the trenches to do the work of Christ. And there are so many issues, as His Eminence mentioned, that don't appear in theology books, have never been discussed in seminary, are unique perhaps to the 21st century. And of course, the ideal situation is you pick up the phone and you call your bishop and you say, "This is the situation, what should I do?" But he is obviously traveling, even when he's here, the vast expanse from the tip of California to the top of Alaska, let alone the rest of the archdiocese he's now assumed. And so we need to have a handle on everything. And because each of us is ordained by a bishop to serve in the diocese of a bishop, representing him as we assume the proestaminos role at the altar and at the pulpit, we should have the same mind. What mind is that? As His Eminence said, it's not the mind of the 21st century in America. When a bishop is consecrated, he makes three confessions of faith. And in one of them is a very succinct formula that ensures the orthodoxy of our faith. The bishop pledges before his ordaining hierarch, the senior ordaining hierarch, and the other bishops that are there, whatever the Holy Fathers have accepted, I accept. Whatever the Holy Fathers have rejected, I reject. That's our motto. That's our motto. That is what keeps us in that great continuum that began with the apostles and continued with a great saint like Ignatius of Antioch, who said that we need, as priests, to be united to our bishop. And continued through all of these great saints to even one who was just glorified just weeks ago. How is it that the Orthodox Church has stayed so constant in her faith while other churches have either added or amputated? Whatever the Holy Fathers have accepted, we accept. Whatever the Holy Fathers have rejected, we reject. And so we'll look at these fathers. The only thing we'll have to decide is, you know, I want to have time to also discuss any questions that you might have that are, you know, we're not going to go through the issues, we're going to go through, excuse me, the internal qualities from which we'll extract. But if there are specific issues that you might have brought, I would be very willing to address those. We just have to figure out the balance of the time to raise those questions as well. We pray for the intercessions of the Holy Fathers. We believe that they are alive and well, hidden in Christ, and many times revealing themselves, revealing Christ to us through those intercessions. It's our job to intercede for our people in prayer, in guidance, in service, and in love, in the example, in the teachings, and in the mediation of those holy fathers and great saints of our church. And so that will be our portion of this seminar. Again, I'm not going to lecture. We're going to walk together through these texts and discuss them and hopefully gain what you probably already know, but in the pressures of our time constraints, in the workloads, in the balancing act, as His Eminence mentioned, of being, you know, a pastor and perhaps very busy in this diocese, as well as being a husband and a father, doing all of those things at the same time, sometimes we lose sight of that anchor. And so we're going to plant that again, so that it can be firmly planted not only in our lives, but in our parishes, and in this diocese, and the glorious Archdiocese of the Antiochian Church here in North America. Thank you.